John chapter 15 and verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they shall keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we're on John 15, and this is very appealing to anyone, especially if you've got a green thumb, if you're a gardener. We have this picture of the branch in the vine bearing fruit, and of course that's what is all essential. And here is this analogous teaching, this wonderful picture of the gardener caring for the vine and the branches and all that's involved at that level. But it's always teaching about the Christian life, how the Lord Jesus ministers to our hearts, and how we may draw our grace and our strength from him. This really is the genius, the secret of the Christian life. It's not rules and regulations, it's not do's and don'ts, it is abiding in the Lord Jesus and his life abiding in us. And if we abide in him, if we abide in his word, then he will abide in us. It's beautifully simple, and it is blessed. And so I trust that you will be encouraged today by this message on the vine and the branches, abiding in the Lord Jesus.
Amen. John chapter 15 surely is a most precious chapter of God's word. It's about our engrafting into Christ. This figure, this parable of the vine and the branches. Now you take it from the physical, the real situation in the vineyard with real vines, branches, fruit, whatever kind of fruit it is, and we understand the Lord is bringing spiritual lessons. And the lesson is that every true believer, every Christian, is engrafted into the life of the Lord Jesus by a spiritual union. And of course, this happens at regeneration when we are born again, when we are indwelt by the Spirit, and you have the life of the Lord flowing into our lives. And the mark of every branch that is truly joined to the vine is that it brings forth new fruit. And it says, "Herein is my Father glorified," this is verse 8, "herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Now that means the mark of the disciple is that you are a fruit bearer. If there's no fruit bearing, how can you dare to call yourself a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Now, there are depths to this parable of the vine and branches which require prayerful study, careful attention, and there are things that can only be learned on our knees. These are the kind of truths that need to be prayed over. You have to truly digest them internally and let them soak into your soul so that the seed of God's word will germinate and come alive in your own heart and in your own life. And of course, a novice reader who is not a Christian could read all of this and get some of the idea of the illustration, but to experience it, to know it in your own soul and in your own life. And of course, we must never be satisfied with a low-level Christian life. And I fear that too many Christians do that. They just accept, well, we'll have a little prayer here, little text there, and we'll float along and we'll do what others do, and we'll just sort of follow the herd. But the serious Christian, the blessed believer in the Lord Jesus, will go much deeper than that and seek to be bearing much fruit, spiritual fruit, gospel fruit in your life, that you might glorify the Father. Now, there are those who want to merely escape the holiness of God. I remember a preacher preaching on a text, and he said that God first of all saves us from himself, and then he saves us from our sin, and then he saves us from hell. And God saves us from his own wrath, his righteous holiness. And the way he does that, of course, is by the gospel, sending his Son to die on the cross, shedding his blood to pay the price of sin, so that God is at peace with us. And that propitiatory sacrifice, the blood of Jesus, cleanses us and turns away the wrath of God from us. And there are Christians who are quite happy to be saved from the holiness of God or from the wrath of God, but they're not really interested in practicing a life of holiness and bringing forth fruit. Now, that would be completely wrong. Now, Christianity is not to enhance your old life, to just butter it up, paint up the old ship, and make it look good, but rather it is a completely new life. It is to die to self. That's what the branch does. The branch is no longer independent. It is totally dependent upon the vine and draws everything from it. And as in every vineyard, there are living vines with living branches, but then there's also a lot of dead wood. Now, we don't want to have dead wood in our Christian life, and we don't want to have dead wood in the Christian church. And so we pray that we will get to the bottom of things and that we will be those branches bearing much fruit by our union to the vine, the life of the Savior flowing into your life. So let that be your goal and your burden, and let that be our aim and object as we get into this message today. Now, I want to treat with this verse 16 textually, and that means I'm just simply going to take each clause, each statement in the text, and make that the truth and the heading for the message. Now, these words are a kind of a manifesto or a declaration of what we're about as Christians, as branches in the vine. And it's good to let the Bible speak for itself. And that's one of the strengths of textual preaching, that we are developing every heading right out of the text itself, out of every clause, every half sentence, and using that as the truth we are speaking. And so let's look at the first statement here, and there you'll see the eternal plan. I have chosen you. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now we have here really two truths. One is the election of sinners. We did not choose God, but God chose us. And the other is that it's spoken to the disciples as they were called to be servants and followers of the Lord Jesus. The fishermen were to leave their boats and their nets. Tax collectors were to leave their offices of custom, and whatever vocation others were in, they were to leave all behind and follow the Lord Jesus. But the point being made is that it is God working to a plan. It is God doing the choosing. And in fact, it is put in the negative firstly to rule out the notion that we chose God, that we chose the Lord. Not at all. That's to be refuted. That's a lie that we dare not live. We did not do the choosing. It was the Lord that chose us. And the plan to save sinners out of the world by Christ's death on the cross was firstly in the mind of God. And from all eternity, it was his plan. Now, I would like to think that seems very obvious. There's going to be a plan of salvation to save sinners. It's got to come from God. But sadly, many people get this backwards, and they do the very thing that the Lord rebukes here. And he corrects right off. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And in Ephesians 1:4, we are told that we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So again, it's self-evident. We didn't do the choosing because we weren't even there. We weren't even born. We weren't created. But God in his plan had chosen all whom he would call out of the world to be his people and to be his disciples. And you know that text in Matthew 1:21, that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the whole purpose to send his son into the world was to save his people. Now, being an eternal plan, there never was a time when God did not have his elect people in his mind. In the mind of God, before the world was created, he had every one of his redeemed, his chosen, in mind and upon his heart. And so here is a tremendous truth for which we ought to give our praises. We were born into this world in time. We have our annual birthdays, but God is the one who chose us and in his sovereign grace opened our eyes to the gospel. I think of that again, that confession of Peter, and how he was able to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said to him, "Blessed art thou, Jonah, Peter, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee." It is a marvel of God's great grace, for which we must praise him and give him thanks. We lament and mourn, of course, the many around us that don't know our Lord. And even though they are born into similar circumstances with similar gospel privileges, they go on in darkness. They have not been given this marvelous gift of salvation. And so the Lord, he rebukes any notion of man choosing the Lord. It is he that has chosen us. Now, in light of these clear words, what difference does it make? Well, if I chose the Lord, and if I chose Christianity, then I could think it was optional. I could think I could take it or leave it, but not when God does the choosing. He says, "Ian, you're mine. I have chosen you. You are redeemed. I've bought you, and you are my child and my servant." I could also think that I am not worthy. If it was me choosing the Lord, and then I would have to prove that I am a sufficient candidate. But when the Lord chooses me, that settles the matter. And no matter how unworthy or how sinful or how hell-deserving, the Lord in his grace sets his love upon me, and that is the marvel of it. If I chose the Lord, I could opt out of it again at my whim. I could be in a bad mood or fall into some spirit of depression or even mental weakness and just say, throw up my hands and give up on this. But not when the Lord chooses us. When he does the choosing, he does the calling, and he does the keeping, and he draws us along. And of course, I could also choose to no longer serve the Lord, but I can't. I can't do that. If you're a Christian, you're called to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus. And I read on this morning in Matthew 16, whenever Peter was called on to confess Christ, that the Lord, and a few verses later, said to him, "Take up thy cross and follow me." And that call comes to you and me today because we are the chosen. And this is the eternal plan of God. Now, it's also God's plan to build his church. Going back to verse 16, you'll notice that he has chosen us and ordained you. Now, that word ordain means to put you in your place. The very setting, the very situation that you are in, God has placed you there. Now, we know of the several disciples whom the Lord chose personally. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were all fishermen. What were they doing? Well, they were fishing. Did they seek to be hired? Not for a moment. Did their parents wish them to become fishers of men? Oh, no, contrary to parents, contrary to family desires, it was the Lord's call. And they need not argue that they can't or that they should not go. And this is a great encouragement to us. We have not run at our own charges. We're not Christians at our own whim, but there is a divine call placed upon every professor, every soul that confesses the name of Jesus. The Lord has called me to be a Christian, and I am called to worship him. And I'm called to bring forth much fruit. That brings us now to the next heading, the everlasting purpose. And it says here that he has chosen me, and I have chosen you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. That's the whole subject of John chapter 15. It fits into the whole context. Now, when the Lord has chosen us, we were ugly. We were not Christ-like. We were not in any way in his image. Indeed, the Lord very often chooses the most unlikely and the most unlovely person, but he chooses us that he might bring fruit, gospel fruit, Christ-like fruit in our lives. And he is formed in us. Let me read to you Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Now, the branch does not bring forth fruit on its own. It does everything by its union to the vine. That's self-evident. It is the repeated emphasis of this passage. And the branch simply lives the branch life, letting the life of the Lord flow into it. And the nature of the tree must be in every branch. And we learned in 2 Peter 1:4 that we are partakers, sharers. Koinonio is the term. We are partakers of the divine nature. And that, of course, is the conforming and transforming work of the Lord in the believer's life. And so the fruit must be consistent with the nature of the tree. And you'll read that in verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am in the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, what is this fruit? What is this Christ-likeness that is to be in your life and mine as disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus was the Father's Son, and he bore the likeness of his Father's holiness. And that life of holiness will be the fruit that comes forth from our life. The Lord Jesus was also a servant to his Father, and that will be born in our lives too, that we will become servants, willing servants, glad servants, with a loyalty and a longing that we do the will of the Father. And that fruit bearing is simply, and I say simply, but marvelously, just doing the will of God, his word abiding in us, us abiding in him, and the fruit will come. There will be a new life, a new walk, a new obedience.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Christ-likeness, what an amazing thing. But what is it? There would be many versions and many ideas or notions that things are really Christ-like. But when we consider Christ-likeness, are we talking about imagery or are we talking about conformity of life, of thinking, of heart desires, of our attitudes? Yes, it is those things, and therein lies the great change, that we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds to knowing what is that good and perfect will of God. And it really comes down to doing what the Lord Jesus taught us to do and called upon us to do, keeping His commandments and walking in the light of His Word. And so you can't do this without your Bible. You can't do this without meditation on the Word of God. And you can't do this unless you are a man or woman of prayer, to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. Because the branch abiding in the vine must continually draw life from the vine. And you must draw your spiritual life from the Lord Jesus by fellowship with Him. And so it's going to take time. It's going to take earnest seeking the will of the Lord and doing it with all your heart, so that there is this tremendous change. And it is starting on the inside, and it works outward. When you get a new mind and a new heart, you will end up with a new walk, and your hands and feet will do the will of God when you set yourself to it. So let's unite in prayer and ask the Lord to work these things within our hearts. Father, we thank Thee for this marvelous teaching here in John chapter 15. We rejoice in the simplicity, and we rejoice in the marvel that the life of the Lord Jesus can dwell in your children. Thank you for those who are born again, born of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus dwells within the heart, and we are now living in sweet fellowship with God. Dear Lord, we pray that you'll draw near and strengthen our hearts. Keep us in your love. Deliver us from evil and give us good fruit, that we may glorify our Heavenly Father. And so we pray that you'll take your word today and use it in the lives of your people, each one listening right now. O Lord, breathe upon us by your Spirit and give us power that we may live the Christian life. We pray for the comfort of the Lord to those that need your grace. We pray for power and wisdom to walk in the light of your word even this day. And we ask this, as always, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.